Well, we'd like to welcome you all out tonight to the Town of Daniel Council Work Meeting, Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, at 5:30 p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. Appreciate all of you being here tonight, and we'll just go ahead and call this meeting to order. Turn the time over to Mary.
Thank you. I always say that, I've got to break that habit, I notice. As we look at our policies tonight, I want to just remind you, this is because of the State Auditor's Office. John has been working with me a little bit on this. I've also asked Barry to take a look at the IT security, policy, and Sherry Price also helped me with a couple of the policies. These are put together by the State Auditor's Office in the hopes that they can not have as many complaints about fraud that they have been receiving. May not be aware of it, but there is a lot, and especially small towns. People don't think that they have to do the things the way that the state requires, or they're exposed to an opportunity where they don't feel anybody is looking, and they can cut corners or take a little money. I'm not saying anybody in this town does that, I don't believe that. But this is why they have asked everyone in the state to do it. All the special service districts are also doing it. Everybody that's got an audit that's coming up or in process. By the way, Kim, has Ben Probst been in touch with you about the audit? Have you been? Good, okay. I haven't heard anything, so.
Oh, no.
Everything is going well.
I handed everything off to Sherry today, so. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, part of that audit is the fraud risk assessment,
it
which
is.
We have to do every year. And this is a copy of the things that Ben, our auditor, will be taking a look at. And one of those things is these policies. If we've adopted it, if we've signed our disclosures, every year we have different thing that they'll be looking at. But I think this is going to be an annual, I'm sure that the checklist will be an annual thing. So tonight, Barry wanted to talk about just two. We'll start off with that. Which one would you prefer to start with?
John, the procurement policy.
Okay.
That's the largest.
That's the largest one. These policies are based basically on state code, or what the State Auditor's Office calls best practices from the Uniform Accounting Manual. And so what they've done is give us a template, and John went through and changed a few things, just a few minor items. And so let's go through it and see where we disagree or what we should do. John, do you want to lead this or do you want me to?
Either way, it's
fine.
Why
don't you go ahead and do this one then, if you...
Okay, you guys have read this. Do you have any comments? The main thing that I was needing some input on and wanting some help with was the amounts that kind of start on page 2, as to what we think makes sense for those amounts.
Can we just start at the top and go down through?
Yeah.
The very first section that says purchasing agent designated. Why do we need to designate the mayor as the purchasing agent and not just calling the mayor?
So what's your problem there?
Well, this is saying the town mayor is hereby appointed as the purchasing agent.
Uh-huh.
Why do we need a purchasing agent? Why don't we just call him the duties of part of the mayor?
Why not call him the purchasing agent too?
Why?
Well, what this does is designate the person who is going to be processing the paperwork. The mayor will end up having to sign pretty much everything, and the council will have to approve everything. But we have to designate one individual. This is the way I read it. We have to designate one individual. And it says that this person can then delegate those...
To another.
To another, whenever that purpose comes up. So, if you don't want it to be the mayor...
No, I'm just saying, why are we adding another title to the mayor's office, why don't we just say this is what the mayor does? This is the mayor's duty.
Well, we can...
You see what I mean? I'm just asking. I'm not saying we ought to change it. I'm just trying to figure out...
I think we're straining at gnats here, though, a little bit. To me, I don't think we're going to call Scott the purchasing agent.
Then why do we write it in the policy?
It's just one of his duties.
Yeah. And I guess if someone asked who's your purchasing agent, we'd say our town mayor. I guess I don't see the conflict there, Barry. I don't see that that's an issue.
Well, in general, when I've got a policy that's, what, 7-8 pages long, there's got to be a reason for it. And I think we're swatted in gnats by adding, we got all these sections in here because of...
Well, what would you want to take out of that then?
Because the State Department has 35,000 employees and they need something like that. We only have one person.
What would you want, how would you want to change that then? Do you not want to designate a purchasing agent?
I don't know why we have to designate a purchasing agent. I guess that's my question.
Okay.
But we do. That we do.
So could you...
So how did we survive for the last however many years without designating somebody as a purchasing agent?
We haven't been doing things the way that it's supposed to be done.
How did we survive?
So Barry, we don't have to have a purchasing agent probably, right? But we want to. We want to have a policy for procuring things.
I don't have a problem with a policy to procure things. We keep adding things to... I've read enough contracts from lawyers to know that they pad things with as much verbiage as you can possibly get, and that's what this feels like, is there's a whole lot of verbiage.
Okay, so what do you want to cut out of that?
Well, I don't know why we're designating the mayor to be a purchasing agent. Why don't we just say that the town mayor is, this is what his responsibilities are?
Because that's not like a procurement policy. That would be under the duties of the town mayor.
Okay.
That would be a different document.
Okay.
So we need to do that. We need to kind of decide who's going to do the purchasing in this document.
Who does the purchasing today?
The mayor, or if he designates someone else, that person. According to this.
And that's fine. I'm just questioning why we're doing some things. I'm not saying what we should do. I'm just saying, I'm bringing up the question of why are we adding the title to the mayor when we're just going to turn around and say the mayor does this. So I'm fine with having that in there. That's not my point. It just seems like verbiage to put verbiage in.
Okay, so...
Because everything's going to default back to the mayor today, doesn't it?
Well, what I see here is the first sentence says the town mayor is hereby appointed and designated as the town of Daniel purchasing agent. And if we want to maybe get rid of that sentence, I guess we could. But then it says the purchasing agent may from time to time appoint another person to undertake all or some of the duties. Do you want to take that out?
I guess my question is why are we designating the purchasing agent? We've never had a purchasing agent. I know it's best practices.
Because we need... Why don't you want to do that?
Well, I don't know that it's adding any benefit to us, is it?
Yeah, it is.
And how does it do that?
Because it gives the town a person that they can go to that does the purchasing, that's kind of responsible for that, that's kind of in charge for that.
Right.
It gives our auditors... Okay, who does your purchasing? Okay, this guy does that. It gives kind of a chain of authority. I guess I don't understand why this is a big deal.
It's not a big deal. I'm questioning why there's a lot of this stuff in here when we're dealing with a town of 900 people and four employees, quote unquote employees.
So you don't want to have a purchasing agent?
I don't see the need for it if it's part of the duties of what the mayor does.
So you don't think that from time to time he should appoint?
I've been in businesses that have a purchasing agent and a purchasing department and everything went to the purchasing department. We don't have that.
No.
We have the same guy.
And that's why I think we have to designate somebody. We don't have very many employees. For instance, you wouldn't want me to say, oh, I'm just going to go buy stuff because I'm a council person.
You could try that, but that's overridden in here. You have other things in here that prevent you from doing that. Are you telling me that Scott's the only one that's going to go buy things?
No, I'm not, because he's
not
going to designate other people, but it would be his responsibility.
I'm fine leaving it. If everybody's fine with leaving it in there, I'm just questioning why we're adding a title to the mayor.
Can I ask a question about functionality? So if it says time to time, every time that I need to go get office supplies, do I have to get Scott on the phone and get him approved?
No, we'll get into that farther down. Did you read through these before?
I did, but I mean, that's the very first thing at the top of the document. Well, and it doesn't have amounts or anything, and it's right at the top of the, I'm just asking.
You have a budget for office supplies, and so as long as you're within that budget, and you have a credit card, which we also will have a policy for too. But yeah, no, you don't have to. This is for purchases that are a certain amount.
Okay, but it's the very first thing, and it's not what it says.
That isn't what that says. The purchasing agent is the one responsible for all the purchases.
Maybe, how about the purchasing agent may on occasion or may appoint? Maybe we don't even need from time to time.
I take out the from time to time because it might be all the time.
Yeah, so the purchasing agent may appoint another person?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing all of the office supplies, and I'm doing that to streamline things between.
And you should.
I know, but even with the water companies, to make sure everything's allocated properly.
Yeah, that reads better.
They're not, like, Shelley's not putting things on Staples anymore. Eric is not putting things on Staples anymore. Internally, we have done that so that it's accounted better as I've reported. But when Eric has, you know, an emergency, you know, whatever he has to fix, he doesn't talk to me, so I don't know how time to time that is when I'm doing all.
So we got that out of there.
For that, I'm just saying. Like,
we got it out. Let's go.
Functionally.
That I think that's a good thing.
So we're scratching from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost everything here is in Utah Code annotated. In fact, all of these citations
come from there.
Go through purchasing process the public entities must adhere to. I think we need a procurement policy, but we only purchase a small amount of things. This policy would be a policy that would be, well, it cites in here, no department. How many departments do we have?
We have the water department, I think.
Office. How many offices do we have? Advisory or policy boards or other organizations of 10. So what we've done is we've taken a very in-depth, thorough, maybe overly thorough in my opinion, but policy, and we've decided to clone it for us. We've placed the town of Daniel in the appropriate places. And I don't know whose this was originally, whether this came from the state of Utah. But almost everything that you'll see in here is already in the Utah Code Annotated.
That's what
That is correct. And Utah Code Annotated basically is guidelines that direct cities and towns and state government on how to do purchasing or how to do conflicts of interest or other kinds of things.
Yes.
So I think given the small amount of purchases that we make, small number of people that we have, this policy is way, way large, in my opinion. This is me speaking.
Don't disagree. It is.
It's all inclusive. The city of Chicago would have a policy of a purchasing policy like this. The city of Salt Lake, because they have thousands of people making purchases. We might have three or four, and all of those should go through the mayor when he's meeting with each employee each week. I mean, the employees each week as we sit down and they bring those policies, those purchases to him for approval. Now, how many times do we go out to bid?
Not often, but occasionally.
But there are three pages in here that talk about when we do go out to bid, but then all of those policies are already in Utah Code Annotated.
Agreed.
About how to conduct a sealed bid, when those need to be opened, all those things, and putting it in a policy that basically is 8-9 pages long.
Don't you think that this makes it simpler?
No, I think it makes it very complex.
Well, but you are familiar with state code.
Of course I am.
I'm familiar with state code.
Yeah.
Kim has not done this. Scott has not done this. Barry has not done this.
But I think the solution needs to be commensurate with the problem and not vice versa. We have got, do we have a large problem, a large purchasing problem? And if so, then I'm saying we should probably go through and tailor the policy to our set of circumstances and not vice versa.
When we do a road project, we will be going out to bid.
Yes.
So it is important that we follow all of these steps.
And how have you done that in the past, Mary?
We followed all of these steps.
There you go.
But it's not written down and...
No, it's in Utah Code Annotated.
Once again, the state auditor's office has asked to do this, not me.
Okay.
Not me.
Well, all I'm saying is...
You don't want to do it.
Yeah, let's decide. Maybe we don't even want to do this, and if we don't want to do it, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm ready to go. No sense in being here.
Well, we are talking about this because none of us were involved in the preparation of these documents.
No, and the whole plan of tonight was to go through them and make them fit us.
Let's talk in generalities. Let's not get, you know, painted into a corner. But all I'm saying, in my personal opinion, I was the deputy director for the Department of Natural Resources. We had 1,700 employees. Our purchasing policy was about half of this. Now, we were purchasing everything from guns to cars to everything. And all I'm saying, this is for a town that has 4 employees.
Okay.
And we make purchases.
Let's fix it then.
Skinny this down to fit our
town? We skinny it down to basically go back to what we do. And then try to tailor that policy to cover that base. Not a policy that covers 100 bases.
Okay, so
that we'll never see.
Did you by chance go through here and see what you wanted to cut out?
I did not, because that was my initial response was, this is overkill, in my opinion. Okay. Yes, I would like to sit down now. But I'm thinking, just like Barry is, we need to simplify so that everybody clearly understands.
Okay.
In many respects, this is going to take an attorney to interpret some of what it says.
Okay, let's simplify.
So here's another. So there's the other policies that you proposed. One of them has to do with conflicts of interest. Yet in here, there's a conflict of interest. I don't think it needs to be in both places.
Okay. Let's see where that is.
And I don't, it's item number 3 on the first page, but I don't think the conflict of interest is the problem. An undisclosed conflict of interest is a problem.
We all had to fill out a conflict of interest form.
We did.
And that form basically should have declared all of our conflicts of interest, and therefore, when it comes up on an agenda item, I raise my hand and say, I am declaring a conflict of interest.
I'm not saying that we don't have to have a policy about undisclosed or about conflicts of interest. I'm just saying it ought to be one place and not in procurement and in an ethics document and in a wherever. It just needs to say it's here.
Okay. So,
and it shouldn't be that there's a conflict of interest, especially in a little town. It should be an undisclosed conflict of interest, because I think the town ought to have the right to hire somebody that might sit on the council's company to do something. I don't know that any of us have one, but if that's the council's decision, minus the vote of the guy who owns the company.
Yeah. So that's 20 minutes and we haven't done anything.
If you wanted to hire Scott's company to do something, we should have the right to do that, knowing that there's a conflict of interest and knowing that he can't vote on it.
Okay.
That's my point on it.
Let's make this work then.
So I think it should say conflict of interest isn't prohibited, an undisclosed conflict of interest.
Do we want a procurement policy?
Yes.
I think we could do procurement policy in a half a
Okay,
page.
So whatever. We want right. a procurement
so
policy.
What's the main part of the policy?
Now let's fix it.
You were talking about the amounts. Is that really where we should focus?
No.
Let's
go through, like you said, and cut stuff from the beginning. I think that's fine. Right now I got from time to time. What else do we want to cut from that first paragraph?
I'm fine with leaving the rest if you want to designate him as also the purchasing agent, if that makes sense somewhere else.
Okay, paragraph 2. What do we want to cut? Do we want to cut the whole thing? What do you want to cut from paragraph 2?
I don't have any notes on that one. The only thing that I underlined in here was about the third line up from the bottom, where it says...
On paragraph 2?
Yeah.
for those who have been on the council, how many purchase order contracts do we have a year?
Does it matter if we have just one or none? But when we do have a contract...
So if you want to cut it, let's cut it.
All of that has to go through this council.
Yeah.
And to go in and then authority to enter into and execute contracts. Who has that authority?
The council.
The council. It's us.
And that's what this is saying.
Nor any officer, employee, or empowered to execute or any purchase order or contract except as specifically authorized in this resolution or by other applicable law. Now, we've got to dig into other applicable law and find out what it is so that if somebody comes back and gets our policy and says, wait a minute, you didn't adhere to this.
Okay, how would you like to change it, Rob?
I don't know. I didn't come here prepared.
So should it just say that authority resides with the mayor and the council?
And the council.
Period.
Simple, one sentence.
Okay, so all contracts are to be approved by the mayor and town council, period.
Yeah, because we've got one department.
Mary?
No, really, is that too little, too much? What? Is that too basic?
I think it works for me.
I think that's fine.
Okay, so whack out all that.
Okay.
Next paragraph. This was your one you're talking about, Barry.
I think if you just inserted undisclosed conflict of interest, that's what it should be prohibited.
Well, it doesn't need to be here.
That's part of the ethics document.
We've got you're looking at a policy on conflict of interest already.
Yes. So it should be in the conflict of interest document.
So the very last line, or have
no, any? No, I'm saying you don't even need number three because that really resides in a different policy.
Okay.
It resides in the conflict of interest policy that we haven't talked about yet.
Does it hurt to have something like this in there?
We've all signed one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't talk about that it's prohibited. The one that we signed says that we've disclosed them. And that's what this ought to be, is we've disclosed them. If the town decides they still want to hire John's company to do whatever, the town ought to be able to do that. Should be excluded just because you happen to live here.
Sure.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with the policy as long as it says undisclosed conflict of interest.
Any other thoughts on that from anybody?
I don't think we need it at that location. I mean,
we're going to debate
a whole conflict of interest, and it covers all of that. And it's whether it's your conflict of interest, whether you're purchasing, or whether it's the conflict of interest acting for and in behalf of the town.
It's the same.
It's the same.
That's true. So take it out and put it in there, leave it in there?
I think we would pare this down too, but basically we don't need conflicts of interest in all.
It's all covered in Utah code. That covers this.
Utah code 6716, it's there. You cannot, as a public employee or as an elected official in the state of Utah, have a conflict of interest. It's against the law. You don't need to state it in a policy. It's already against
the law. Except no one knows that unless it's in your policy.
Well, I don't. How many people know the policy?
That's true. I understand that. But I see both things here. I see this as being informative and kind of reminding, but I see it as being wordy too. So I'm either way on this one.
I would pull it out of here and leave it in the...
Mary, strong feelings either way?
I think it should be in there. No officer, employee, agent, representative, or member of any committee of the town of Daniel. So it's anybody that's connected with the town government should...
As long as it says undisclosed.
And it says the same thing right here in your conflict.
Okay, so undisclosed, if we put that there, does that...
That solves this issue, but it doesn't solve that we're duplicating it.
Yeah. So, or have any other undisclosed conflict of interest? Is that what you're saying, Barry?
Well, this is saying the very first line says conflict of interest prohibited, and I'm saying...
Oh, so you put undisclosed there.
Yeah, I don't think they're prohibited. They're just, they can't be hidden.
Okay.
You're not going to use my company.
I got you.
Know that it's my company.
So put undisclosed conflict of interest prohibited.
You personally have that, the responsibility to disclose that conflict.
I do. But this is saying you couldn't buy from me or you couldn't hire me. And I'm saying that's not right because this is a little town. You might have to hire some people that work on this council or work in the planning department or whatever.
I like that. That makes sense to me.
We have a town engineer that has never gone out to bid. We've never bid that.
Yeah, we have.
When
we...
No, we didn't bid it.
We got rates from other people,
yeah,
from other engineering firms.
You didn't use this policy.
No.
No.
It wasn't in place.
It is in place.
The state...
When you go out to procure services...
Okay, let's get back to this, conflict of interest.
No, but the state really has control over you if you're spending state's money. That's what it says in here.
If you're spending public money.
No, that's different. The state has specific rules if you're spending state money.
Utah Code Annotated covers cities, towns, and all elected...
I agree, but even in this policy, it says that.
Yes, it says...
If you're spending state or federal money, then something else. It's item number 8, off of this first list.
Okay, so is everybody good if we do on number 3, undisclosed conflict of interest prohibited, and leave the rest?
That's the only note that I put online, so...
So would it say have any other undisclosed or have any undisclosed?
It should say or have.
Here's my thoughts. Why have two policies?
What do you mean?
Why have we got a conflict of interest policy right there and one here?
I don't think they're different. I think this is just reminding us that we have a conflict if you have a conflict of interest.
Maybe we refer this one to that one.
We could do that.
And we've already all...
Instead of have Utah State Code...
Signed that one anyway.
Instead of developing this one, just refer to that one.
Well,
I mean, I don't know why we need two.
And then if you want to make some changes, you make it to that other one.
So what if we say undisclosed conflict of interest prohibited, see this document?
Yeah.
And nothing else?
That works for me, because then if you make changes later, you only make it to that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to shrink it or throw it.
That goes with what Scott's saying, I think, too.
I mean, like I say, we've already signed that and...
Okay, so undisclosed conflict of interest prohibited, and then this is called the conflict of interest policy.
Yeah.
And I'll just put C, conflict of interest policy.
Perfect. I like that. Sorry, I'm slowing you down here.
Scratching that.
No, this is just what we wanted to do. Okay, number 4.
Basically states there, unless exempt by this policy, all purchases as required by applicable state and federal law. We don't need to state that. It's already a part of Utah code, and it just says we have to.
Well, is there somewhere in this document that we are exempting, unless exempted by this policy?
No.
We're going to follow Utah code.
Absolutely.
We're going to always follow
Utah code. So it's another paragraph that basically is useless.
So you don't want 4 in there?
I think it's a waste of time.
Any other thoughts?
If you want to state something, just state with the all purchases and contracts shall be awarded on a competitive basis as required by the resolution. So if you have to have that in there, if you don't want to pull the whole thing out, just take out the unless exempted by this policy.
I like that. And start with all purchases and contracts.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
That's state code.
How about you, Robin?
So we're going to do that anyway.
Do we want a dollar amount, though?
No, that's going to...
No, they're coming.
Paragraph 5 basically says that all participants in state procurement units can use state purchasing.
Yes.
That is, if the state goes out and buys something, we can buy it at the same price the state does.
Yeah.
And that's all it's saying. Per Utah Code 63G, we're entitled to participate in any state public procurement unit agreements, whether it's a yard of asphalt or whatever it is, we can participate.
We get the same rate.
So 5's okay.
It's just restating.
It's just restating Utah code.
So why?
Once again.
Okay. 6.
Is six just part of the ethics policy? Similar to the conflict of interest policy.
It's all in Utah Code.
There's an ethics policy also.
So.
This one ought to just say refer to the other one, I think.
Does the ethics cover purchasing though?
Yes, it does. Everything from receiving gifts to purchasing foreign on behalf of the town. Our officers are prohibited from acquiring any financial interest.
But this talks about dividing procurement to avoid the following policies.
Yeah, that's Utah Code. We can't do it by law.
No, but what I'm saying is that some people have taken a $10,000 purchase and they said, okay, we're going to do $5,000 here and $5,000 here.
You can't do it.
To avoid, but who knows that? You know that, but Scott, do you know that?
Has anybody done that?
Not here.
In this town?
It could happen. Have we done this? I don't think so, but.
So are we thinking unethical purchasing practices, see ethical policy? What do we call the thing? It's not ethical policy.
Just that section of the Utah Code that basically says you can't divide procurement, you can't have kickbacks and gratuities, you can't fit, and you must.
So should I just say, see Utah Code 6716?
Yeah.
You
could just say, as far as ethical, unethical purchasing practices, the town of Daniel follows Utah Code, blah, blah, blah.
You don't think that spelling this out makes this easier though, instead of going? Well, I hope whoever is planning to purchase will refer to this.
So.
This makes no sense, because right up here it says all contracts are by the mayor to council. I can't make a purchase down here.
No.
Unless I've already been assigned. It makes no sense to have all these rules. Clearly, I can't make that purchase without the mayor's approval, the town council.
Okay, so what, everything, every expenditure that clears this town, when the mayor meets, what day do you meet?
Well, we meet the Friday before the planning commission meeting. So we met last Friday.
Every purchase at that point in time can be cleared right there. Doesn't have to, we don't have to refer to Utah Code. Basically, every purchase, just like Eric is saying, has to go through this process.
And we don't need number six at all.
A simple funnel. No, we do not need that.
I think you almost got to say something about ethics in your procurement policy. I don't know that it hurts anything to say something about ethics. At least refer them to.
You could make it as simple as unethical purchasing practices. This says unethical purchasing practices follow state code.
So what about this? I got unethical purchasing practices, see state of Utah Code 6716, Utah Public Officers and Employees Ethics Act and avoid, period.
If I had a copy of the code here, you'd be surprised how word for word this is.
I know that.
I know you know it.
But that's okay.
All I'm saying is, do we want a policy that's this thick?
No, I want everyone to understand what the code says, though, without having to look up the code and read it. Well, that's all I'm caring about.
We repeat it in the same document.
Well.
For instance, this little section that we're looking at right now, the dividing in procurement, go to the next section that's authorization requirements for purchases, number 5. It says the same thing again.
Okay.
And how many times do we have to say it?
Okay, so just to summarize, if you guys are okay with this, on unethical purchases practices, then see Utah Code 6716, Utah Public Officers and Employees Ethics Act, period.
I would call it good.
Okay, and delete everything else in paragraph 6.
We're already, all of us are bound by that.
Yeah,
already.
Okay, number 7.
We put our hand to the square.
This might be to go to some new person and go, here's what we follow.
Number 7.
Yeah.
That's pretty much straightforward, right?
We're not subject to sales tax.
Number 8.
That's what we talked about before, but we get to participate.
So is 8 redundant, you think, or with the participation?
Well, we have to.
I think 8.
If it's state and federal funds, this says that we're going to apply to state, we're going to abide by the applicable state and federal laws. Well, that's obvious. I don't know that aid's even needed. Because we wouldn't have gotten the funds if we weren't going to comply with it.
Okay, here's the fun one we're going to have, guys.
I don't think so. I think we're good.
I mean, on these next ones.
So, Scott, tell us what the, where these are today, and maybe we just fill in those amounts, because I'm fine with the amounts.
I don't know if we know where they are today, do we? Do we? Okay.
I have had conversations with multiple people, and basically purchases up to $1,000. I mean, we got four people with a credit card. I don't even have one. I don't want one. I told them to keep their credit card. And they have purchases limited up to that. I mean, stamps, office supply, stuff we need out in the town if something happens and we need to run by a pipe or a fitting or whatever. I mean, purchases up to that. For those department heads.
Stop right there. Who are the department heads and supervisor? Who is that?
Well, the only person I know that has a credit card is Eric Bunker. So that
instead
would be
of department heads, should we put in there, because that's a variable in this document.
Town planner?
So we'd put the town planner so that we know exactly where it is. But how about?
Well, yeah, Kim.
How about Kim?
Kim has one.
So we can,
that's over office supply.
The water secretary has one.
Water secretary and Sherry Price. It's only credit cards that are out.
Okay, so is that this first one that we're talking about then?
Mm-hmm. So because down in that, see that next red part that says department head or supervisor, I'm fine with $1,000 if that's okay. Everybody says it's good.
So maybe approved by, and then what about those that have?
You know, how do you work
those
that
have a credit card?
There's four of them.
So do we want to list those four? Card. What if those four change?
Well, that's why we don't want to
list the position.
Okay, so do we want to list the position there? I don't really care.
I don't either.
I don't either, because they could change, and every time you change, you got to change the name, or you just
yeah. I don't want to put names there. I won't put a name. I'd put position or. Or yeah. Those that hold the credit card.
That's fine. That's what you want.
I'd probably put the position.
Okay, so remind me of the positions then.
So we got the planner.
We could have the mayor.
I don't, the mayor don't want
in, yeah, not this mayor,
this time, but another mayor might.
Yeah, so I'll put the town mayor.
Yep, the town clerk.
Planner, clerk.
Water.
Water secretary.
Water secretary.
And treasurer.
Water secretary.
Water secretary.
And treasurer.
And treasurer.
And the treasurer. And on, when you look at your, you know, when we do the warrants and stuff, you look out in the column and it says CC. That's credit card purchase.
Yeah.
You see who does it, who spent what.
Okay.
So.
Is everything else okay there then? Or is there something else you want to cut out of there?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Next one, number two.
So is that the only limit that anybody has here, Scott, is the $1,000?
Right.
I mean, not on here, but I mean in how you're operating today.
Yep.
Just $1,000?
Yep.
I've never had to spend $1,000 more than $1,000 at a time. Have you, Eric?
Yes,
credit
I have.
Card? Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, my card's limited at 1500. We bumped up against that in a month. You're only allowed 1500 a month, and then it won't reject your charges, which has been a problem before. But it's
so do you, in those cases, do you get a purchase order? Because that's what this is requiring, then, that you have a purchase order.
No, and when we've had that problem before, I've just paid cash and got reimbursed. Because it's too much hassle to go through a purchase order and do everything.
So let's fix that.
Do we even have a purchase order book? I've never seen one.
So we need to fix that so you don't have to do that.
I mean,
I agree, we should just fix this.
Because he's had to get parts on weekends and whatnot.
Sure.
But to me, this is different, though.
Yeah.
This is $1,000 to make a purchase. You said you made a couple different purchases.
Yeah, we bought the weed sprayer. We bumped up against that.
Yeah. So
we could actually cancel the order.
I like the $1,000 purchase limit, but maybe we just need to bump up the credit card limit. which is a different thing to me.
Is that to be multiple purchases?
Yeah.
So how does that process work if you want to go buy a weed sprayer or whatever it is?
If we got it approved at the council.
Okay.
And then I just made the purchase.
I was thinking more about like when you had to do repairs.
Yep.
Like when somebody knocked out the fire hydrant and things like that.
Yeah, I just go do that. I mean,
And then you turn the receipts in, you purchase on the credit card what you can.
Yep.
You pay out of your pocket what you can and get reimbursed.
Yep.
I don't mind bumping. Yours is a $1,500?
Yeah, in a month. I can only do $1,500 per month.
See, and I don't mind that, because I know if we have a water break or somebody hits a water line, you can be $1,000 into fixing a water line.
And that's not what this says at all, though.
Yeah.
Because this is saying, first you have to have a purchase order approved by the purchasing agent and the town council before you can initiate that purchase, and by then we've flooded.
But this is, I don't think this is I'd consider a flood or pipe break a disaster type of thing, an emergency thing, not a procurement thing.
Yeah, is that covered in here?
I don't know, I don't remember.
It is somewhere, where those exemptions from competitive bids and
that stuff. J on the...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm good with one, and maybe we... Think about Eric's credit cards later.
I guess the question is the purchase order, since we're not doing that, is that something we want to be doing, or do we just eliminate the requirement for a purchase order, but it requires a pre-approval by mayor or the purchasing agent or whatever you want to call it?
For these smaller items?
Or purchases over $1,000 but less than five. Can that not be a purchase order, but just be an approval by the mayor?
Are you looking at two?
I'm looking at two, I'm sorry. No, that's fine with number one.
Okay, so I got one fixed. Two?
Two, you could... I don't know about the amount, but it says that it requires that there's a purchase order approved by the department head or supervisor. We're not using purchase orders.
And if we are, I've never seen one, so.
So we're not using them.
So why don't we just get rid of number two?
No, because we need to have cover between one.
Oh, one and five.
One and five.
Yeah. So yeah, I would agree between one and five.
Approved by, scratch out the purchase order. This says approved by the department head. Well, they're the only ones carrying the credit card, so we don't need that department head stuff in there. Purchasing agent, that's the mayor, which I'm okay with that. And instead of and, it could be or, but the whole council's not going to get together and approve a $2,000
charge. However, this what we're talking about now is pre-approval as opposed to warrant approval. So.
And so what point does it get pre-approval? Take the water line we got broke right now. I mean, I called Scott. I says, we got to get some guys up here to fix this.
But that's an emergency.
Well, it is, but we are actually hiring them to come up and do this stuff, so we're procuring that company to come do this.
So if we took out...
At what point does that stop?
Well, I wouldn't want...
Me and Scott, it has to go to the council.
Okay, I wouldn't want that. If it's an emergency, I would want you to talk to the mayor.
But one emergency to some person is not an emergency to another.
Well, no, I just... No, we know what an emergency
Well, I know, but we're not talking about me. You're surely not writing this for me.
So if you go down to J, which is a couple pages down past the exemptions for competitive bid, so we're talking two different things, competitive bid and
emergency purchases.
No, it can, yeah, they all fall into that, but this isn't, that's not what we're talking about with the under 5,000 and over 1,000.
No.
I don't know that, I would just say it needs to be approved by the mayor.
Yeah. Well, okay. Between
the one and here's five. A real life, for instance. He had to buy a special wrench to fix something. The wrench itself wasn't the emergency.
Sure.
And it's going to stay the wrench that they use, but what if he was over the limit? Should he have to spend $500 of his own money to buy a wrench So these are, I'm just giving you like real life kinds of things. And if that happened after he's already spent $1,000 on something else, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If you had to go spend $3,000 on something, you could call Scott and say, I've got to spend $3,000 on this new whatever it is. And if he says yes, fine. I'm good with that.
And it doesn't matter whether it's an emergency or not.
It's, that's what I'm saying. This number two ought to just be
$1,000 to $5,000. See if I got it right, Barry. Purchases over $1,000. All procurements of services and goods in an amount over $1,000 must have must be approved by the purchasing agent or town mayor.
Which in this case is the same person.
In this case is the same thing, but he could assign someone.
Yes.
Period. That's it.
I leave it there.
Okay.
And does it need to say a range? Because it ought to change when it hits five. This is in the amount of.
So.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I understand.
Should it say, no, this fine. It says over.
Purchases over $1,000 and under five?
Under five.
The next.
Because the next one says anything above five.
Okay, I think I can piece that one together. We'll have to redo a final edit of this, but I'll be close.
So number three has the purchase order in there again, but do we do purchase orders? What do we do?
Mostly they invoice us. But again, then the assumption is that the purchase was approved because.
So how is that? They give you a.
We usually go with a bid.
They give you a bid.
Uh-huh. On the water stuff, we get a bid from the company. This stuff we're doing right now, we don't have a bid because we're just against the wall with them. So.
No, I'm talking about your stuff from local people. They know what Eric's doing and they will just provide invoices.
Yes. Yeah, we got people we can just call and they'll show up and then they'll just invoice us.
So maybe.
These benchmarks are only who is going to approve.
Yes.
So the first one is the department. The next one is these guys.
To there.
The next one is us.
If you weren't above that, it probably should be the mayor and the council.
And
over $5,000. Yep. And then anything over and above that, we go out to competitive bid. In Utah Code Annotated, it recommends guidelines for which you should go out to competitive bidding. Maybe $10,000 is your limit. You establish that and you decide anything over that amount. But it's all about approval. It isn't not necessarily how we go about securing the item. It's about who approves it, who has authority per this policy to sign and say, it's yes, go ahead and purchase. Over a certain dollar amount, the mayor wants to run it by the council to get their approval. And then over above that, you set up a limit and say, everything over and above that is a competitive bid.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's all we're really doing here.
That's right. And I think that's where we're getting to.
So department heads and all.
How does this number three read then? Purchases between $5,000 and $15,000. All procurements of services and goods in an amount between $5,000 and $15,000 must have a purchase order approved by.
But we don't do purchase orders.
Must be approved by.
The mayor and governing body.
Okay, let me read what I got so that I get it fixed. Must be approved by the town mayor, the procurement officer, or the town council, period.
Not or.
And
at this level you've gone up above that and you've said.
At five to 10?
Anything over and above this amount, it must be approved by the mayor and the town council. It needs to be on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what that does, is that puts it on the agenda.
Right.
And then everything else there is whacked.
Yeah.
Okay, number four.
This is where we've got to decide, what are we going to set as the limit for competitive bidding? For items that go out to competitive bid. And then you establish that process. What's a good number?
Well, we've got everything kind of covered up to 15, so it ought to be. I'd say 15.
Yeah.
Or is that too low?
I don't know. What do we buy? If we go back and historically look at what, how many purchases up to $15,000 has come before the council?
We do like the crack sealing and things like that.
Those are competitive bids.
The one I can think of right now was when we, the fixing of the chlorination system on the tank, but that's a council and decision. You know what I'm saying? That went out to a couple of bids.
Right.
And so I like what it says there, 15 and above. I mean,
okay,
that's.
So it just means that we get competitive bids and it's back to the mayor and the council for approval.
Just like
anything the vendor's been doing. Anything between $5,000 and $15,000.
No competitive bids are required.
No competitive bids are required.
But still, this.
But anything under $5,000, the mayor has approval to.
Just go with it.
Go with it. And anything between $5,000 and $15,000, you need to bring it to the town council for approval.
Okay, so how's this then? Purchases over $15,000. All procurements of services and goods in an amount over $15,000 must be put out for competitive bid, period.
Yep.
C-section of competitive bids.
Yeah, I can just leave it like that.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, I want to be a fly in the ointment again, because we've had that competitive bid out, and the company that we chose to do the chlorinator has us at the back of the bus, and there's one that's a little bit more that may be able to get us in sooner. So does that need to be addressed?
It doesn't say that
we have to take a minimum
bid. Because other things like that come into play. So you can say, as a council, and the mayor can say, we're not going to go with that one because we can't see him for 8 more months, but this one can be here next week. We're going to take the one next week.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that's, because that is an issue.
See, if you were a large organization, you could not get everybody together to approve these chunks of money and these bids and these, because you've got to move forward. And that's why this process basically says, here are the people who have authority already to purchase up to this amount. Anything over this amount then has to come to the town council. But I can tell you, in large corporations or large municipalities and large organizations, they don't have the time to do this. And so that's why they established this policy. Us, we're probably now approving all of the purchases that are over a certain amount, because
other
that's
than when he has a break and he calls Scott and they approve it, and that's exactly what we're saying.
Still be approving that. It's going to show up on your warrants.
Right. Okay, number five.
So just quickly before you leave that, if you look back at number four, Barry, it says we are issuing to the competitive bid on the first page.
Say that again, sorry.
Number four says that we are competitive bid.
Yes, shall be awarded on a competitive basis, but it doesn't say that you have to take the minimum amount. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Well, this says
because they were talking about not.
This
says as required by this resolution, but now we're authorizing these amounts.
This is a policy that sets forth, it says, unless otherwise exempted, which we have, because everything under $15,000 is exempt.
And so are items listed under J, which is coming up in 2 more pages.
Exactly.
You can exempt.
So that example she's using about the two companies is $20,000.
But we're saying only $15,000 and up.
Right. So
but
if their bid is $20,000, then do we have to take the competitive bid, or can we pick the guys we can get there?
I don't think competitive bid means minimum bid.
Okay.
No, competitive bid just means that you know you got a good price because you
not
got
how we award the contract, but we get them. Okay.
There are ways basically in an emergency, if you've got an emergency, you can do telephone bids, and you basically solicit those, you document the call, you enumerate what the competitive bid was, and then you can move because if the water line is broken or you've got a chlorinator down, you've got to get it back in action.
He knows that better than any of us.
Absolutely.
Number five.
Saying, don't build a policy, we can't do
but
that.
But otherwise, if you leave it with this, you can't do that.
Okay, number five.
Yeah, we shouldn't have that. We should be able to move.
This is a repeat from the stuff on the page before.
So
you can't split the bid into two.
Do we say where do we say
it just
that
says that in Utah code? You've already done that. Utah code.
So we can cut five.
It's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal.
OK. Okay. Six.
This is telling you what a competitive bid is, a competitive sealed bid is.
Okay, sealed bids.
Sealed bids are different.
There are two different?
Yes.
Kinds of competitive bidding and competitive sealed bidding that is opened in a public meeting, those are two different things.
Yes.
This is talking about the sealed process.
Have we ever had a sealed bid process in the town of Daniel?
Yeah, when we do the roads.
Road projects, water projects.
Okay.
Yep.
And usually we'll open those bids at the engineer's office.
In front of everyone.
Yeah, everybody's there.
You shouldn't do it in the engineer's office.
Yeah.
Should be doing it in a public meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, so number six, what do we want to do? Do we need to?
I think that is state code, all of that stuff. It just goes through how that works.
It's all in the state code, it's nothing new.
So we scratch it?
I wouldn't scratch it.
No, I wouldn't scratch it.
No, because this tells you exactly the process you must go through.
We're good with 15,000 and just leave six as it is.
Should it say as required by Utah code instead of when required?
Well.
Where are you saying that?
Just at the very top, when required.
Because the other item that's talking about 15,000 isn't talking about competitive sealed bids.
Yeah.
It's talking about.
Just bids.
So this is a different kind of thing.
I would change, under competitive sealed bids, I would change, I would raise that amount of 15,000. I don't think you know, you're saying up here that we're going to go to competitive bid for over 15,000. But as far as the sealed bids, you know, I would up that.
In most cases, when you're talking about sealed bidding, you're talking about people going out and doing a very thorough analysis of a project. You've got an engineer involved. You've probably even got an engineer's estimate. You've got other kinds of things that basically, you've got a person who's the project manager that the bidders can contact. You've got, you know.
So if you have an amount?
30,000 maybe?
I'm not even sure you should put them in that. But what you really want to do is go out and solicit as many people as you possibly can that they need to come in.
Because we're going to try to buy our budget amount anyways.
So take the amount out?
I think most of the time we're going to be doing telephone bids unless we're building something.
Well, yeah, I think this is more like we've.
These are sealed bids.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so.
So the number six and the number four aren't tied together at all?
They don't have to be. Absolutely not.
Number four is talking about any bid.
Yeah.
Competitive bid. This is talking about a sealed bid. So how do we differentiate between those two so that we don't? Because this is.
The town council and the mayor can do that by saying the scope of the project. If we're going out and buying.
Is that all? Is that just scope?
A new computer.
Is it just the scope though?
A new computer. Let's just say. We can get three is the minimum, three telephone bids.
Sure.
And we buy the computer.
That's a competitive bid. Now, we're in a new section though, but I don't want to step on that one.
If we're going out to build a building, we can't get phone solicitations.
Right.
It's the nature of what we're purchasing is going to dictate its scope.
So it's not driven by the amount?
No.
Yeah, you shouldn't lose the amount on that.
I would lose the amount and do something with the scope.
Yeah.
And the scope is then determined by.
The scope is determined by the town council. When we sit down and say, we want to chip seal X number of miles of road.
Yeah.
Okay, that's going out publicly to be bid. We'll advertise it in the paper.
So what if I just get the amount out of there?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be in there. Because it ties our hands.
Shall be obtained by competitive sealed bid.
Why don't you just do away with the first two lines of that and leave it to where it says the mayor and town council may require.
Yeah.
Competitive sealed bidding for the procurement process.
That works great.
Just have to take out the also where it says town council may also. And then here's the, then we leave all that in there because that's how you do it, that's in the code.
Okay, so does that get us to?
The other only one is in I.
I.
It's just it says entity name in there and the line right, and that ought to be the entity. And right underneath that.
Hold on. So put in Daniel there, an entity's name?
Or Daniel Town or whatever.
The item is no longer needed or the specifications or timing does not meet. the towns?
The town's current needs.
Needs or plans, in the event of a bid cancelization, the town council shall put, the rest of that's okay?
I think that's fine.
Okay. Now, J, we talked about J.
I like J in there, and I just put a note on it that it keeps, I mean, you have to keep referring back, because this exempts everything else that we've done.
Okay. The rest of you good with J? Eric, J might be kind of your deal, too.
I have lots of deals.
See, what's interesting to me, though, is J is then talking about competitive bids again, and not sealed competitive bids.
Should we say both there, then?
No, I don't.
I mean, this is under the subset of competitive sealed bids, but in this document, it doesn't say sealed again. I would just add sealed.
I don't think we need to differentiate. I really don't. I think we just need to,
We do here, though.
You tie our hands.
But all of this has to do with the sealed bid.
That is correct.
But J doesn't refer to a sealed bid, it's saying competitive.
Doesn't have to, because the same, I mean, if we want to go to do telephone solicitations as a bidding.
Well, that's already allowed in these other sections. I'm just saying J has to do with competitive sealed bids.
No, it doesn't say sealed, it just says competitive bids.
Because it's under this.
But it's in the section that's called competitive sealed bids.
So I'll put sealed bids.
If you put sealed bids, then it refers to that.
So exemptions from competitive sealed bids.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything with K?
I'm good with that.
Okay, geez, guys, that's it.
So if, let's just throw out a, supposing we decided to go out and bid our auditing services.
Okay.
Let's throw this out. How would you go about doing that? Do we not need to do that because of service contracts with professionals or specialists?
Could be. They don't necessarily have to be sealed bids. We get competitive bids.
That's why I'm saying when you put sealed in there, is that?
But it's already under sealed, so I think it's
kind of. It's already in that subsection. I was just clarifying the paragraph.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not listed under.
This J is basically exempting us from certain kinds of contracts, like when you have sole source providers.
No, it isn't.
No.
Not at all.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
No.
No, it doesn't.
But where it is in the contract is listed in the subset
of sealed
bids. So it applies to sealed bids, not to the
exemptions from competitive sealed bids required may include the following. You don't have to go out for sole source providers. If there's only one person.
Well, I agree.
You don't have to go out for service contracts and professional services like legal counsel.
I agree.
You don't have to go in for emergency purchases.
I'm not arguing the event. I'm just
so does it need to come out from six and be put somewhere else?
It's in the section today, right now, in this document, under sealed bids. I'm wondering, like she said, does it need to come out of there or
maybe be its own?
That's the point I'm arguing.
Yeah, be its own.
But are we already able to do all of that, given what we can go to the council and do pretty much whatever we think we need to do?
I think it might make sense to pull J out somehow.
Put it in its own?
And put it in its own.
It's already in Utah code. Basically enumerates in there the kinds of purchases you don't have to bid, go out to bid for.
Yeah, so why don't we put instead of in six, make it a seven, and pull that J out of there and put it its own.
Okay.
Because then it's not under six, which is competitive sealed bids, and that way it applies to both.
So I will make it five, and then make six, leave six as it is. We drop it up five, I'll pull J out, and make J
and replace it?
Five.
No, we'll just take out five, replace it with J.
Yep.
Okay.
And leave then that as exemptions from competitive bid requirements.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. How it says that you're gonna document that, how are you gonna document that? In this policy it says you're gonna why the reason we didn't do a competitive bid.
You do it in your minutes of the meeting that basically approves this. And here's why we're not going out to bid for this project, because we have a sole source provider.
Okay, so that's.
The minutes reflect that.
Should I leave J in as unsealed, on the unsealed part?
It's a duplicate, though.
So it'd be duplicate if we leave it as bids, okay.
Yeah, so 15 minutes to planning meeting, Mark.
Are we okay with the example of the quote sheet and everything?
Are you okay with it?
Yeah.
Because you're the one that will have to use it.
I thought it looked fine.
All right.
Good, yeah. Are you okay with it, Eric?
Yeah, most quotes, they don't, you don't even use this. They send you a quote.
Yeah, no.
But if you did telephone quotes.
If you're doing telephone quotes, you can use this quote.
This would document it.
You can use this quote sheet and it can document it.
So we're on the last page on there that says other.
I don't even know what that is. Is that part of the quote sheet?
That may be found in purchasing policies. These are things that aren't written in what we just did, but you could have them. I don't know.
I mean, all that state code anyway. I mean, it doesn't really need to be added into anything.
It's way over the top.
I just take that off.
Drop that whole thing.
Yeah, drop that whole.
Okay, guys, good.
The county attorney was gonna have to review all that we left.
Okay, I will make those changes and get them to you before I'm out of office.
Right on, that's a commitment.
Okay, can I?
Yes.
Close on this note. We have an ethical behavior policy. You know, I think all of us understand what's ethical and sometimes not ethical behavior. Yes, it probably should be enumerated. Yes, it should be clarified from time to time. I'm gonna read a paragraph here and then I want you all to respond. My point is, sometimes when you wanna kill a fly, you use the fly swatter, not the sledgehammer. I'm just gonna read one paragraph. You tell me what it means. Except in the course of official duties, assist any person in any transaction where the employee's assistant is, or to a reasonable person may appear to be, enhanced by that employee's position with the town, provided that this subsection shall not apply to any employee appearing on his or her behalf or representing himself or herself to any matter in which he or she has a proprietary interest, or if not otherwise prohibited by this ordinance.
Okay, so let's fix.
Now, this was written by an attorney.
Really?
That basically then requires all of us to have access to attorney to decide what's ethical.
Well, let's fix it then.
Let's tear it off. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
We need an ethical behavior policy.
We need.
But it's not that.
But it needs to be so simple that basically we all signed a conflict of interest policy, which basically is declaring our ethics and our conflicts.
Let's put that in the policy, that we all sign an ethics deal at the beginning of our tenure, that we, let's list what it is instead of what they say it is.
Well.
Because we have that, I agree with you.
I'm not saying, but this basically is so complex.
Okay, well, why don't you come up with another one, Robin?
Well.
I mean, you could probably state it in like a half a page.
I think ethics are a big deal.
I used to be easily in a half a page.
But I think sometimes that they go overkill, because I mean, I used to pay lawyers to write contracts, and that's the kind of stuff we get.
Yeah,
and
when I
agree. Ourselves, we could understand them.
I need somebody to define a reasonable person. Because that's who they're
getting. All I'm saying is, it basically is so tedious.
Okay, I'm leaving, guys.
So take a stab at that one, and let's move on that one.
Okay.
I think that one could be like half a page.
Same thing, personal use of entity assets. All we need to say is, without the authorization from the mayor, which assets do we have that basically?
That's exactly what it needs to say. The mayor, and that's how other organizations.
The only other problem with that is the IT one. The IT one is overkill for what it is, but what it should say is use of, I guess say company, use of town equipment, computers, iPads should be for the sole purpose of town.
That's it. That's
anything
all that
else
needs to be said.
Is prohibited. Fine. Let's do that.
Because this policy already has another credit card policy here, which we're going to rehash one more time.
I don't know. I already know with those. Let's spend more time on those.
But the IT one, I can slim it down to a couple paragraphs.
And ethics, we can slim that down to a paragraph too.
Thanks, guys. I got another deal at 7.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Okay.
Now, call for this meeting.
Let's do it.
Call for a motion.
Motion to close.
Oh, we're adjourned?
Second.
We're done.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Wow, started out rough, but we might have ended up with at least a reasonable procurement.
I didn't even see we started out rough. I mean, that's, if that's rough.